We light this candle remembering that in God's eyes the night is as light as the day. Good morning. My name is Avril and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. I very much hope that this service will offer you comfort as you participate in it, however you choose to do that. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. The kingdom of heaven is like a jewel trader searching for the most beautiful pearls. When he found one that was precious, he sold everything he had and bought it for himself. Oh, give thanks, call upon God's name, and publish God's saving deeds among the nations. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who found buried treasure in a field. Joyfully he sold all he had and bought that field. Sing to our God, sing songs of praises, tell the world of God's wonderful works. Today's prayer of confession comes from the Armenian prayer book of St. Gregory of Narek, and it was written in the 9th century, so it's over 1,000 years old. So as we pray it, we join with all the Christians who have prayed this prayer over 1,000 years. Let us bring our confession to God. Let us pray. God, you are not the accuser, but the liberator. Not the destroyer, but the rescuer. Not the executioner, but the saviour. Not the scatterer, but the gatherer. Not the traitor, but the deliverer. You do not pull down, but lift up. You do not knock down, but stand upright. You do not curse, but bless. You do not take revenge, but give grace. You do not torment, but comfort. You do not erase, but right. You do not shake, but steady. You do not trample, but console. You do not invent the causes of death, but seek the means to preserve life. You do not forget to help. You do not abandon the good. You do not withhold compassion. You do not bring the sentence of death, but the legacy of life. Take away our sins, Almighty. Remove the curses from us, Blessed. Pardon our debts, Merciful. Erase our transgressions, Compassionate. Extend your hand of deliverance, and we will instantly be made perfect. Thus, providential Lord, revive us, made in your image and brought to life by your breath. Amen. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, and Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. We have been chosen, called, and put in the right, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Friends, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And as you probably guessed, our Bible reading this week comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, the next part of chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Today's gospel reading is a collection of parables told by Jesus in chapter 13 of the Gospel according to Matthew. So I'm going to read you a version of one of them, which is called The Precious Pearl, by Nick Butterworth and Mick Inkpen. Here is a man who buys and sells things. He is called a merchant. He has a fine fur coat and a felt hat with a floppy feather. It is his favourite. The house he lives in is huge. It has five floors and a fish pond with a fountain in the front garden. The merchant has everything he wants. He has 15 rooms filled with furniture. He has four freezers full of food and three fridges for fizzy drinks. And there is more money under his mattress than you could ever imagine. Much more. Yes, the merchant has everything he wants until one day in a shop window he sees something special. It is a wonderful white pearl. £500,000, says the man in the shop. It is even more money than the merchant has under his mattress. But he wants that pearl more than anything in the world. He hurries home. He has a plan. He sells his furniture, his fridges, and his freezers full of food. He sells his house, his fountain, and his fish pond. He sells his fine fur coat, but the felt hat with the floppy feather he keeps. It is his favourite. He borrows a barrow and bundles in the money. Off to the shop he trundles to buy the pearl. Oh dear, he is still £6 short. Sell me your hat for £6, says the man in the shop. The merchant laughs. He hands the man his hat and takes the pearl. Hooray! The pearl is his at last. Jesus says, God is like the merchant's pearl. It costs everything to know him, but he is worth more than anything in the world. The end. Work together for good for those who love God. Victoria is in the midst of what seems to be a second wave of COVID-19 infections, and this time most of them seem to be acquired in workplaces. And we know that some people have gone to work even when sick because they're in casual employment and don't have sick leave. So it seems that people are now dying because over the past few decades we have allowed the casualisation of the Australian workforce, with so many people in insecure work that commentators now refer to them as the precariat. And this is happening in Australia, which is one of the richest countries in the world. We're seeing how much worse the situation is in countries without our resources. Over 15 million people have been infected with COVID-19 worldwide, and over 600,000 have died. So given that is the world in which we're living, how can we say that all things work together for good for those who love God? Paul's world was no different. Paul himself was living in a time of danger, in a society in which Christians were reckoned as sheep ready for the slaughter. The trials that Paul lists in today's reading, hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, are the same hardships that in other places Paul describes as being part of his life as an apostle. Paul was not naive about the evils of the world. So what is he saying? An alternative translation of "all things work together for good for those who love God" is, "in every way God works for the benefit of those who love him." And in that translation, it is God who is working for our good, not things in general. It's not that situations of horror and pain will turn out to be good for us. It is that in the midst of that horror and pain, God is with us, and God will not allow them to be the last word. Paul is telling the Romans, people who may be facing every single one of the trials he mentions, every danger and difficulty that may befall the followers of Christ in the Roman Empire, that none of these trials can deprive their lives of meaning or themselves of God's love. As Paul goes on to say in the passage that I have told you time and time again is one of my absolute favourites, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Knowing this, knowing that the end of our story will be our glorification, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God, has enabled Christians throughout history to act with extraordinary courage. Dietrich Bonhoeffer and the members of the Confessing Church knew that nothing could separate them from the love of God when they opposed the Nazis. Archbishop Oscar Romero knew it when he spoke out against human rights abuses in El Salvador. Martin Luther King Jr. knew it when he worked for civil rights. Bonhoeffer was executed by the Nazis, Romero and King were assassinated. But there is no doubt that in their deaths they were not separated from God's love. People like Bonhoeffer, Romero and King were, in Paul's words, more than conquerors. They knew that God was for them, and so no one and nothing could finally be against them. God has preordained, called, justified, and glorified humanity through the death and resurrection of Christ. The crucifixion of Jesus looked like his overthrow by evil, his defeat by death and the rulers and powers of the world. And yet the crucifixion, the apparent failure of Jesus' life and ministry, was in fact the triumph of God's love of humanity. What looked like the greatest defeat was in fact the greatest victory. The love of Christ shown in the crucifixion and resurrection reveals to us the eternal love of God, and nothing can separate us from that. And knowing this means that we too can live with courage, because nothing can ultimately defeat us. It means that we can face this time of COVID-19 without immobilizing fear. Just as Paul faced hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and the sword, we may be facing sickness and death, unemployment and poverty, isolation and loneliness. None of these things work together for good. But equally, none of them can separate us from the God who is for us and who is always working for our good. Not even death can separate us from God, and so we don't need to be afraid even of death itself. Contrary to the theology of the wackier fringe churches, we do not believe that our faith will keep us safe from COVID-19. We will not be excluded from the dangers faced by others, any more than their faith in God protected Jesus or Paul from execution by the Romans. But it does mean that we can say with Paul, neither death nor life nor rulers nor angels nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in the midst of this time of COVID, I hope that that comforts you as it comforts me. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for our community. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Continue to surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Continue to give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness we need as isolation stretches on. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those who have kept working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, those who found new ways of working from home. Today, we particularly remember those who had returned to work and who are now in lockdown again here in Victoria. And we pray for those working in hospitals and aged care homes, whose work puts them in constant danger. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, and for those whose homes have not been safe places during this time of lockdown. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, and for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton. Help them to make the best decisions as lockdowns are reintroduced and as they have to order further restrictions. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. We make these prayers in the name of your Son, our Lord, our Mother and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death.
Victory is ours. Victory is ours.
Victory is ours.
He who loved us. Victory.
Go in peace, and may God make all things work together for your good. May Christ Jesus always intercede for you. May the Holy Spirit help you in your weakness. And may you always know that nothing can separate you from God's love. Amen.